Chapter 20. When his servant found him, it was the middle of the morning. Gary lay fully dressed but asleep upon the bed, with his sparse hair ruffled, his uniform stained and grubby, and the leg lying derelict in the centre of the floor. The servant closed the door softly and studied his master, his nostrils flaring at the sour smell of stale brandy and vomit. "Had yourself one hell of a bust-up. Hey, hop, skip and jump," he murmured without sympathy. Then he picked up the bottle and examined the inch of liquor remaining in it. "Your bloody good health, cock!" he saluted Gary and drained the bottle, patted his lips delicately and spoke again. "Right, let's get your sty cleaned up."
"Leave me alone," Gary groaned.
"It's 11 o'clock, sir."
"Leave me, get out. Leave me.
Drink this coffee, sir."
"I don't want it. Leave me."
"I've got your bath filled, sir, and a clean uniform laid out for you."
"What time is it?"
Gary sat up unsteadily. 11 o'clock, the man repeated patiently.
"My leg."
Gary felt naked without it. "One of the harness makers is stitching the straps, sir. It'll be ready by the time you've bathed." Even in a position of rest, Gary's hands, laid upon the desk in front of him, trembled slightly, and the rims of his eyelids prickled. The skin of his face was stretched like that of a drum over the slow pain that throbbed within his skull. At last he sighed and picked Lieutenant Curtis's report from the top of the slim sheaf of papers that waited for his attention. Gary skimmed through it dully. Few of the names upon it meant anything to him. He saw Sean's name headed the list of wounded, and below him was the little Jewish lawyer. At last, satisfied that the report contained nothing to the discredit of Colonel Garrick Courtney, he initialed it and laid it aside. He picked up the next document. A letter addressed to him as officer commanding the Natal Corps of Guides from a Colonel John Aitchison of the Scots Fusiliers. 2 pages of neat pointed handwriting. He was about to discard it and leave it to his orderly's attention, when the name in the body of the text caught his eye. He leaned forward attentively and read quickly from the beginning. "Pleasure in bringing to your attention, conduct beyond the call of, under intense enemy fire, once more initiated an advance, although wounded, disregard of personal danger, 2 members of your guides, etc., etc., Sergeant Sean Courtney, Private Saul Friedman, earnestly recommend, etc., etc., Distinguished Conduct Medal, Great Gallantry and Powers of Leadership." Gary dropped the letter and leaned back in his chair, staring at it as though it were his own death warrant. For a long while he did not move, while the pain kept beating in his head. Then he picked it up once more. Now his hands trembled so violently that the paper fluttered like the wing of a wounded bird.
"Everything of mine, everything I have ever owned, he's taken it from me."
And he looked down at the ribbons on his breast.
"I've never had... Now this... The one thing..."
A drop of moisture fell onto the letter, blurring the ink.
"I... hate him," he whispered, and tore the letter across. "I hope he dies."
And he tore again and again and again, ripping it to shreds and at last screwing them into a ball in his clenched fist.
"No, you'll not get that from me. It's mine. It's the one thing you'll never have."
He hurled the crumpled ball against the canvas of the tent and lowered his head onto his arms upon the desk. His shoulders shook as he sobbed,
"Don't die, please, Sean. Don't die."